Thanks, Ray. Thanks very much.
The Ray D'Arcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Good afternoon on this cold Monday afternoon. How are you? 51551 Ray at RTE.ie. -5 tonight, they're saying. And unlike most days, it's actually colder now than it was this morning. There's a sort of a wind there as well that'll cut through you. It's bitter, bitter, bitter. So whatever coat you bought or whatever coat you were gifted, whatever gloves and hat and scarf you got from underneath the Christmas tree, today is the day to get it out and get use out of it. Congratulations to Cillian Murphy. Well done on getting a Golden Globe for Oppenheimer. And I loved his acceptance speech because the first thing he said was asking if there was lipstick on his nose, which is great.
Oh boy, our first question, do I have lipstick all over my nose?
Yes, you do. Yes, you do. Yes. Because when his name was announced, and they don't know, it's a surprise. So everybody around the actor is surprised as well. And his wife, Yvonne McGuinness, leant in to her husband to give him a congratulatory kiss and whatever was going on, because it must be mad. I was looking at one person been interviewed afterward and they said they just go blank. They just go blank. Anyway, she misdirected the kiss and got him on the nose instead of the lips. Now, you think they've been together since the 1990s. You think they'd have it sorted out by now. Anyway, so he arrived up to collect his Golden Globe with his wife's lipstick on his nose. It was great to see his son there as well, Aaron, age 16. Nice of Killing to bring him along and share in the glory, I suppose. Did you know that Cillian Murphy's wife, Yvonne McGuinness, originally from Kilkenny, and is the niece of the politician John McGuinness? Did you know that? No, there's a little tidbit of information for you on this Monday afternoon. Isn't that mad that, you know, the All-Ireland club semi-final between Glenn and Kilmacud Crokes, and there's pictures in all the papers today of the fog-shrouded pitch in Newry where the match took place yesterday, and there's question marks over whether it should have happened at all. Glenn were victorious in the end, which was a reverse of last year's final. And last year's final, just to remind you, in case you don't follow the GAA closely, was the controversy over too many men on the field. Remember that? You know, there was a... They counted the players and they did video analysis of it. And at one stage, there were 16 Kilmacud Croke players on it, and Glenn were given out. And eventually, anyway, it went to Kilmacud Crokes in the end. So this was a replay of that, albeit the semi-final. And again, controversy because of the fog, and should have been played. And a lot of people were saying if that was a local game, it wouldn't have been played. And this is an All-Ireland club semi-final. But the Kilmacud Croke people are saying that Glenn were the better team on the day and they deserved a win, and they go on to the final now against St. Bridget's. And that's going to happen on January 21st. But great pictures there. And a great picture on the cover of the Irish Times today. I know it seems like a long time ago since the daily papers are out, but I had to remark on this one. It's a picture of athlete Leanne Van Dyke. And she's competing in the Waterville Trail Running Festival, WTF. And I was intrigued by this because I watched a documentary, and I think it's part of this crowd. It started in America, Mega Backyard Fun Run. So everybody starts out and they do a loop of 43 kilometres. That's around 27 miles, I think, 26 and a half miles. And then they do the loop again and the loop again until there's only one person left. And that one person is the lady who's pictured on front of the Irish Times today, Leanne. And she did four loops over the weekend. Four loops. That's four tough marathons. And she was ahead of the field, obviously. She was the only one surviving after four loops. She was ahead of Owen O'Connor and Kevin Leahy, who did three, and Robert Pym and PJ Meehan and John O'Connor and Adrian and Damien and David and Keane, who did two, and Jacqueline and Kieran and Stephen and Geroid, who did one. And then there's loads of people who got no further than that. The mad thing about it is, though, they described it on their website as a fun run. Bowers Mega Backyard Fun Run promises to be the toughest event you are likely to attempt. We want to find the most stubborn, determined, relentless, masochistic runners and give them the opportunity to test their absolute limits. So well done to Leanne. And she likes to run. I think that's what it says on her Instagram thing. She does run a lot, but it's a lovely picture there. And I'm sure when it came to loop four that Leanne wasn't really stopping to admire the view she was more concerned in getting through the whole thing. Annual results of the Irish business against litter. You would have heard this on Morning Ireland this morning. The big news is that coffee cups are providing the biggest threat to our tidy nation, our tidy state. Good news, though, is that it's the first year it's the first year that no place was deemed seriously littered. So they've been doing this Irish Business Against Litter survey for the last 20 years. And last year, 2023, was the first time that no area was deemed seriously littered. So that's good news. That's good news. And the big winners, Maynooth, Mallow, Sligo, Kilkenny, Mullingar, Clonmel, Monaghan, Enniscorthy, Carrick and Shannon and Ballina. I think they were all deemed tidier and cleaner than the European average, which is good going. So well done to all of those. And we'll have to sort out the coffee cup situation. We're doing our little bit here. We're doing our little bit here. Yes, we have the Ray D'Arcy Show Keep Cup, which you can win on our Whodunit quiz. We'll tell you about that in the next few minutes. So we're contributing in a small way, in a small way. Now, for a lot of families around the country, this was the anthem this morning. Yeah, for a lot of families since, what was it, the day before Christmas, which was the 22nd, there's been no alarms, there's been no getting up for school, there's been no making lunches, there's been no asking, where's the tie from a uniform, where are my football boots, what did I do with my mouth guard? There's been none of that for the last 16 days, and back with a bang this morning, oh yes! And for a lot of households, it was the first time they had to get up at whatever, 7:30 or 7:45, because there's been lie-ins a go-go for the last 2 weeks. So if there's any consolation at all, it is in the fact that you're not on your own, that there are people all over the country experiencing the same thing. And there's going to be that little, you know, Christmas holidays jet lag now, because you're used to going to bed at a certain time, getting up later in the morning. Now you have to get up earlier and you'll have to go to bed. But for the first few days, it'll be hard to get to sleep at the usual time of 9:30 as opposed to the Christmas time of 11:30. So good luck with that. Good luck with that. It's a good old anthem. If you're going to have an anthem for anything, yes. ray@rte.ie. Now, a fascinating story today about the mouse who's cleaning up a shed in Wales. Have you seen this? It's remarkable. And I thought it was one of those, you know, deep fake things. Some guy who worked on Ratatouille probably was bored and decided he'd use all the frames he had animated for Ratatouille and put it to work in a shed. But it's the real thing. It's the real thing. And we're going to find out about that. Looking forward to that. And the Choice Album Music Award thingamajig have been announced today. And Green Chatten is on the list, as is C-Mat and others. And we decided just to celebrate that, or to mark that. We'd play this. Littering, says somebody, is a people problem, not an item problem. It's not the coffee cups. It's the people who don't dispose of them properly. Bit of both, maybe. Because remember the plastic bag. And then the levy was introduced. The plastic bag was sort of, you know, all over the place, blown in the wind, literally. And then they introduced the tax and the plastic bags disappeared, changed people's behaviour. So maybe we need something similar on the coffee cups. It's a day for garlic, says Claire in Dublin. I'm here making a curry and I'm only lashing in the garlic. I need some flavour without the calories. I need to fight the bugs. I need to warm up, says Claire in Dublin. Well, layers, Claire. It's funny you say about garlic, because I was making fajitas over the weekend and I forgot to buy the garlic. And usually you'd have, you know, somewhere in the fridge, wouldn't you? You'd have a bit of garlic. You'd find it. But there was none. I scoured the fridge, all the drawers down at the bottom. No garlic. So I had to go without garlic. And I noticed it. It provides flavour that you don't even recognise in a lot of dishes, but you need the old garlic. Today will be crucial to see what we have in store for Eurovision for Ireland. It will indeed, Patrick, because yes, all this week we are revealing for the first time the six hopefuls in this year's Eurosong competition. So that'll happen at the end of the month. on the telly and you'll get a chance to vote. But this week we're introducing you to the acts and the songs for the first time. And what can happen then in the couple of weeks up until the Late Late Eurosong special is that people, the acts, can get out there, radio stations can decide to play one song and not the other. So I think the aim is that by the time it gets to the Late Late Eurosong thing, that everybody's familiar with the songs and they can vote with that in mind. Anyway, first one today, we spoke to Michael Keeley, head of Eurovision delegation, on Friday about the process and all that. And we're going to meet the first act and hear the first song today, the first of six. So there you go, Patrick. Exciting stuff if you're a fan of the Eurovision. And the great thing about the Eurovision, I find, is that although people say, oh, I don't know Eurovision, everyone has an opinion. Everyone is interested and they feel strongly about it. Doesn't really matter that much. I suppose it matters to the people who are taking part, but in a global scale, it doesn't matter that much. But everybody has a big opinion on it. Anyway, I had 16 days off, felt like a month off. It was delightful. Yeah, that we were saying that, wasn't it, about Christmas, that it does something weird to time. So although it was only 2 weeks to three weekends, 16 days, it does feel a lot longer. Yeah, 51551 Ray at RTE.ie, and we're looking for two of you as usual to come on after 4 o'clock and take part in our Whodunna quiz. There'll be two of you, there'll be three questions each, there'll be clues, and there will be a prize. And we've teamed up the Fairways Hotel in Dundalk. They're proudly part of the I Knew A Collection Hotel Group to give whoever wins today the chance to win a two-night, well not, we're going to give them a two-night stay with breakfast each morning and a delicious dinner on an evening of their choice. And the Fairways is set in the heart of Dundalk, perfectly located between Dublin and Belfast. And Fairways Hotel welcomes guests with warm hospitality, gorgeous rooms and memorable evenings at the Brasserie, which is the hotel's restaurant. And during your stay, you can discover Dundalk, enjoy a delectable afternoon tea and enjoy an nightcap before a blissful night's sleep. Fairwayshotel.ie, fairwayshotel.ie. Here's your qualifying question on this Monday afternoon. Which Irish actor won Best Actor at the Golden Globes last night? Which Irish actor won Best Actor at the Golden Globes last night? 0818 715 925. That's 0818 715 925.
The Ray D'Arcy Show on RTE Radio 1. Email ray at rte.ie. The Ray D'Arcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Marion has been on. Ray, garlic should not be stored in the fridge. The cold weakens the flavour. Oh, yes. Fridge or press. That's a perennial. And because it's a new year, we could do that again. If you're looking for an idea for an item. What should you store in a fridge and what should you store in a press? Yeah. Now, there's a video that we watched this morning. It looked like it was straight out of a Disney cartoon. A tiny little industrious mouse on a workbench tidying up pegs and bottle caps into a box. It's in a shed, and the shed belongs to retired postman Rodney Holbrook. And he captured the video without the mouse's knowledge. And he joins us now on the line. Hello, Rodney.
Hello there. Nice to speak to you.
Lovely to speak to you. Whereabouts are you, Rodney?
I live in Belfast Wells, which is in Powys, in Mid Wales.
Right. Okay. Now you do you do a lot of work in your shed?
Yeah, I do quite a bit of work in there, yeah. Like any chap does, I suppose. Bit of drilling and hammering away. And
And what did you begin to notice, Rodney?
Well, the first thing I noticed was in the box I got, where I got the peanuts in, the nuts I had out went missing, and I thought, this is strange. Mm. So I put some more back in. The next day, they went missing again.
Okay.
So I then, not long after, found an old pair of shoes of mine with a load of nuts in. So the mouse had taken those nuts and stored them in the old pair of shoes of mine. So okay. I put some more nuts in, and I the next morning, I had all this stuff put in there. I thought, hang on, this is strange. You know, so I thought, I'm going to set up my night camera, which is a trail camera. So I set it up, and lo and behold, I got the video of the mouse doing his stuff.
His tidy-up routine. Describe for people what you captured.
Every day. Every night.
So he
takes it all out and he puts it all back.
Right. Like what are we talking here?
What do you mean?
You're talking. What does he? You take all. What do you take out of the box and what does he put back in?
Oh, like the screws. Yeah. I got my bench of screws, yeah. Plastic cut things, with some of the things he brought over himself and
right.
part of the other in the shed. But all sorts of little things. Some little light things in wooden pegs and you know, line pegs.
It's a fascinating video because he goes about it as if. He's been given the job by somebody, by a foreman who said, you go over there, mouse man,
you get on
tidy up. Yes, yeah, it does.
Of course, it's all in pitch black because, you know, the film would show it is light because it's the infrared. But I know it's quite incredible.
And how long does it take him and what time does he do it at?
Well, it does vary. He'd been as early as 6:15 in the evening when it was darker than night.
You know? Right, yeah.
But I filmed in quite a few times. It's been any time between early evening and into the early hours of the morning.
So what do you think he's doing? What's going on in his head?
Well, I think, myself, it's hiding the nuts. It's covering the nuts over so nobody else, no other mouse or... can find them.
Yeah.
That's what I think he's doing.
Now, Rodney...
There's something I thought of today that I haven't done yet, and I'm going to take the nuts out that's in there and see tonight if anything gets put back in.
Interesting. Yes, yes. Yeah. That's science there, what you're doing there. That's science.
It is.
Now, we have a scientist on the other line.
Yeah, that's what... Yeah.
Wildlife expert, Aina Ní Laoghna. Good afternoon, Aina. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you. How are you doing, Ray?
Good. Say hello to Rodney there.
Rodney, how are you doing? This is a great story altogether. I'm fascinated.
Yes, I don't mind myself. Yeah, I'm doing.
Well, I want to ask you to clarify one thing. Did you say he takes them out of the box every night and then he puts them back, or does he just put them in?
He puts them in. What I do, I take it out every morning. And then in the during the evening, he puts it all back in again.
And did you empty out your boots? Are there still the nuts in your boots, or are they gone?
Oh, they're gone. I took them all out of that.
So the only nuts are in the box, Well, now I know what's happening.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is his food. This is his food. And normally, a normal mouse would take away the nuts and hide them in a place where he would have them for the winter.
Stores them,
But you've taken away your boots and he's nowhere to go with them. Uh-huh. So now he's decided that he's going to cover up the box instead. So if you leave all the stuff on top of the box and don't have them all over the bench, put them back on the box. See what will he does he eat any of them? Does he take them off, have one, and put them back?
Oh, he does eat some of them.
You don't do half enough experiments at all. You could do far more stuff.
Well, what I'm going to do, I'm going to take the nuts out and not have any nuts in there tonight.
Hey, you old meanie. Why would he bother coming anymore? No, we'll have to finish him off.
I want to see if it puts any of the stuff in with the nuts gone.
No, you won't. He's putting the stuff in to cover the nuts that are there. Right. If you take away the nuts, that'll be the end of it. You'll lose them. Don't do that.
So what would you predict?
He'd be okay. He's obviously stored them somewhere else in the shed. I haven't found them yet.
Yeah. What do you predict he'd do? Say if Rodney does take out the nuts and leaves the pegs and the corks strewn around the workbench, what would the mouse do then? Nothing?
The mouse will come along and say, hump this for a game of soldiers and go off somewhere else to get nuts and not work as your unpaid slave. I would leave the nuts covered. I would leave the nuts covered with the stuff tonight and see will he take them off, a few nuts and put them back.
Yes.
What you do. Yeah. And would you not give him something better than old peanuts? Give him some hazelnuts.
No, sorry. He's not getting anything else but peanuts.
Rodney, sorry, I should have introduced Aina properly. You've met her now. You know the cut of her jib.
Yeah.
But it is fascinating. It's a brilliant piece of video, isn't it, Aina?
It's wonderful. It's absolutely splendid. And it is a lovely little field mouse with his big ears. And his eyes, of course, are huge. And they look really huge in this because they reflect the infrared light. So it's excellent. It's an excellent bit of footage. So well done there, indeed. Yeah.
So he's aping behaviour that would happen in the wild normally. So they would secrete their food somewhere, would they?
Well, no, they don't. I mean, they eat the food all the year round because 90% of their diet is seeds and nuts anyway.
Right.
But in the winter, when there aren't going to be any, it's only in the winter months that they do this. They don't do it all the year round.
Mm.
So it's only now when there's nothing available that he's stashing them. You see it in woodlands as well. I mean, that's where you normally see it. You get a whole collection of hazelnuts or something poked into the bottom of a tree and they're obviously brought there and covered up with moss and that. Mm. So, I mean, that's it. If they were already covered up, I wonder, would he uncover them? Is he eating any of them? I mean, did you just come and mind them and go off again? What's he eating?
Yeah, so there's your scientific experiment for this evening, Rodney.
Is
to leave them covered. So he's going to arrive, everything's tidied up, his nuts are covered. What will he do? That's the big scientific question of the day. You predict, Aina, that he will do what? Nothing.
Well, I mean, he might rummage about each one or two and put them back.
Okay,
Okay. If he's coming to have one or two, I mean, you know, obviously he hasn't been eating them in great quantity because you would have less the numbers. Did you count how many nuts you put in? Do you count them every day to see are the same number still there? Is he doing any droppings? Where does he go when he's finished?
Yeah.
So many questions.
You could put
dust on the desk and see his little footprints and see where he comes from. And goes to.
So now, Rodney.
I'm going to have to try that.
Yeah.
A whole new career for you.
Now, Aina, here's the thing. This isn't the first time this has happened to Rodney. Rodney, go on. A number of years ago.
Yeah, back in 2019, back in Bristol, where I used to live. A friend of mine, he had a strange thing going on in his shed, so I set up my camera. I didn't know then, see, about the mouse. I set up my camera and there it was. The mouse was putting the stuff into the box.
Again.
He had peanuts as well.
Right, so there you go. So that's,
It's followed me from Bristol to Wells.
I doubt it's the same mouse, Rodney, in fairness. I don't know much about these things, but I doubt it's the same mouse.
He only lived for a year anyway, so he would be a very long-lived mouse if he was still around 5 years later.
All right, it'd
be interesting what happens next year then, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it would. Will you do that? Yeah. Will you take Aina's advice then and leave everything as it is now and leave the camera running, and we might give you a call tomorrow to see what has happened?
The only thing tomorrow...
Right.
I'm out and about tomorrow.
Maybe the day after. Maybe the day after.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Rodney, lovely talking to you. Aina and Eleanor.
Same to you. That was brilliant.
Thanks
a lot.
Thank you.
Thanks, Aina. Talk to you. Bye now. Bye.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1. Text 51551. The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Okay, this week we are introducing you to the six hopefuls for this year's Eurosong Contest. And first up is Erica Cody.
Hello.
Song A.
Song A.
Song A.
Very exciting. So they've changed things about now. You can come on here, we can play your song, you can canvas, for want of a better word, between now and the Late Late Show Eurosong.
Yeah.
That's the deal.
It's super exciting. It's kind of given me PTSD from Dancing with the Stars canvassing. But all very exciting.
Yeah.
It's been hard to keep this one a secret, but I think, you know, seeing the reaction and stuff even this morning on Twitter, I think people are putting like two and two together, and it's been nice to finally be able to talk about it.
Yeah. You're one of six.
One of six. Yeah. One of six hopefuls now to represent and fly the flag for Ireland. So
it's
you know,
a bit bigger than Dancing with the Stars, I would think.
It's quiet now. Apparently, the viewership of Eurovision is bigger than the Super Bowl. So it's quite a big deal. You know, I didn't make this decision lightly to enter. So,
How did you make the decision?
The song, everything was just kind of lining up. I'd been approached to do it before, to write a song for potentially a couple of years back. And for me, I'm a big believer in the universe and timing, and the timing just was never right. I had a lot more things that I wanted to work on to solidify my own career before I even thought of, you know, stepping on such a huge stage, or potentially stepping on such a huge stage. And yeah, there was just a lot of conversation going around. One of my best friends, Andrew, who I have a podcast with, Unapologetic, he was like, "You need to do Eurovision. I feel like you can bring it home." And I was like, "Really?" And I'd had the song. We wrote the song, myself, Amy, Ruth Ann and Richie McCourt, at a camp. And we didn't really know what we were going to do with it, to be honest.
So the song wasn't written for Eurovision?
No, we had just written it at a camp. And yeah,
that's interesting, because a lot of people say, don't write a song for the Eurovision. Just... write a good song.
Exactly. And then that conversation kept coming up as well. And I was like, is this all happening for a reason? And, you know, it was just one of those things that I was like, you know what? I'm just going to let the universe guide me and I'm going to follow it. And sure, lo and behold, the end of
the universe, because you made a call then, did you?
Made a call then. And I was like, look, what have I got to do? I have a song. I think it's good. And I would love to try and bring it home for Ireland. So, yeah, and here we are.
So just because people are interested in this sort of thing. So you had been approached in previous years.
Yes.
So you had that line of communication was open, if you like.
Yeah, like my manager at the time had told me, she was like, look, they want to see if you'd be interested and even put your name forward. And I was like, I just don't think it's the right time right now. But I think, you know, with time, it might be something that I will do down the line. I never said never to it.
Okay.
And then, just this year, had this song, went through a whole lot of life changes, and I just kept coming back to this song because it's a real feel-good self-love anthem, not only for women, but for anybody who might be going through a breakup or anything like that. So it's the ultimate kind of... In my head, I think it's the ultimate kind of single girl anthem. So it's definitely been something that's helped me get through a lot of tough times. So I'm excited.
So you
to
rang
everyone.
RT and they said, fine, we're ready.
It didn't really work like that. I'd been expressing my interest for like a couple of months or whatever, a couple of weeks leading up to, you know, the submissions. And I was like, okay, what have I got to do? Got in touch and they were like, here's this link, upload it and then see what happens. And then the rest is history. We're here now.
You're here now. Yeah. And it's the first song of six.
Yes.
What do you think we need to do? Obviously, you're going to say, just vote me in and I'll go and do it. That answers that question.
Yeah.
Right. Are you a big Eurovision fan?
I am. I've always been a big Eurovision fan. It's always been one of those things, like me and my cousins would have Eurovision parties back in the day. And yeah, it's there's something about it and there's a real sense of community with it too. And I think, well, the Eurovision fans don't miss a beat because they've just been... they're like detectives. They've been able to put two and two together like all week pretty much. I've been getting tagged in certain things and yeah, it's very exciting. And I just think, you know, it's about time that we brought it home, if I'm being totally honest.
We brought it home. That's your thing. You're going to get it on a t-shirt. We're bringing it home.
I think it's time we took our crown back and we brought it home.
We've won it seven times. Sweden have now won it seven times.
And you know what?
They're
it's
on home
back
turf.
In Sweden this year. And the last time we won was in 1996 with Emer Quinn. I was born in 1996. The sun could say it's fate.
So you were born the year we last won the Eurovision Song Contest.
Yeah.
There's something there.
There's something there. There's something there. We'll run with that anyway, right? super exciting.
And your favourite Eurovision song winner of all time?
It has to be Lorraine, Euphoria. Yeah, it was so iconic. I think for me, that's when I was like, oh, Eurovision is like huge. That's when the penny kind of dropped for me. But you know what? We've done the gimmicks. We've sent the turkey. Shout out to Dustin. And I just think it's time that we, you know, showed what exports that we do have and how good we can be. And I would hope that Love Me Like I Do could be that song.
Yeah. And you would be different as well.
Yeah.
You know, but like, that's
100%.
You would be the first woman of colour representing Ireland.
I know. I'd be the first black Irish woman to represent Ireland at the Eurovision. Yeah. That would be a first. That would be a very cool first. And I think the main purpose of what I do anyway, especially when I've did like the likes of Dancing with the Stars, for me it was all about representation, and if you see it you believe that you can be it, because you know all I had growing up was Samantha Mumba to look up to here, really, who was an Irish black female pop star, and seeing her doing what she could do and do it internationally made me believe that I could do it too. So yeah, it's even you saying that is like, okay, it's taken time, but we're here, and I think it's about time we...
You still have to get through
Eurosong, but it would be amazing to be that first. You know?
Love Me Like I Do.
Yes.
Song A.
Song A.
Performed by Erica Cody. Written by?
Written by Ruth Ann, amazing Grammy nominated songwriter, Irish, Amy Fitzpatrick, also known as Amy, an amazing Irish woman songwriter, and Richie McCourt, who's also an Irish songwriter and producer, and he produced the track. So it's all Irish owned, and yeah, we're just really excited for everyone to hear it.
There's only room in this bed for one, so don't call me at the end of the night. You always wanted to see me burn, but I set my own heart on fire. I was lost, I was breaking, what's all in my head, but I know what I'm feeling is right. I'm awake and I'm taking it into my hands. I find
just made the official video there.
Basically, yeah. You can see that on TikTok later on.
And there's a key change there, 30 seconds from the end.
There's a key change.
Brings it up.
We've got a bit of Gaeilge in there.
Is there? I did. I missed that.
There's a bit of Gaeilge. It's Misha Mana, it's Misha Gra.
Ah, right.
I am woman, I am love.
Right, I missed that now, and I've only heard it twice. And you took a break from music, and this is back with a bang.
Yeah, I had to take a break last year just for a little while because I needed to just kind of get my head straight. I was going through a lot of life changes. I was trying to navigate, you know, being single for the first time in a really long time. My dog had passed away that I'd had for 11 years. I had professional relationships that were changing as well. So I felt for the first time that I was really on my own and vulnerable. I wasn't on my own. I had an amazing support network around me, thank God. But it was just one of those moments I was like, do you know what? I need to be still.
How long were you in a relationship for?
A long time.
What's
a long time? A good few years.
Right.
So it was a big adjustment, you
like
know?
A lot of your adult life, would you say?
A lot of my adult life.
Right, okay.
Yeah, so, you know, this, and it's funny because this song was, I didn't write it at the time when I was single. It was written at a time when I was still in a relationship. But it started to ring true to me more than ever. By the time Eurovision and stuff had come around, and I was listening to it anyway while I was going through all this stuff, and I was like, you know what, it just, as I said, the universe was guiding me and I was just following it, and I was like, you know what, I think not only has it helped me, I would love for it to help a lot of other people too who could be going through something similar, because that's the way I've always written my music. Yeah. It's very cathartic, and yeah, no one can really love you like I do. I think when I was on my own for a really long time over the last couple of months, and with my own thoughts and having to move spaces like house, I moved in with my best friend and we were both going through the same thing at the same time, and it was still, she's hurt me today, and it was still one of those things. We kept coming back to the song, we played in the car all the time. Right. And I was like, what will I do with this? Like, I know I have to release it, but I don't know when. And then, yeah, Eurovision, it was just right. That door just kept knocking, so.
Okay, well, there's the first of six, Erica Cody. Good luck.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. I'm excited. Hopefully we can get the job done.
You really like the song, which is important.
I do. I wouldn't put something out if I didn't like it, let's be honest.
I'm sort of half joking. But you were giving it loads there. We turned it up to the nine.
To the max. Yes. Turned up to 90.
And I was doing dad dancing and you were doing,
I got some of that on camera too. That'll be on TikTok, right?
That's great. Right, Erica, thanks.
Thank you so much.
Talk to you soon.
Right.
Bye bye.
Thank you.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1. Tweet at Radio Ray RTE. The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Now, Cillian Murphy won a Golden Globe last night, which is really exciting, with the Oscars around the bend. I'm going to be talking to Jen Gannon about what the Golden Globes say about the Oscars in a moment. But first, to Cork we go, to Cillian's home place and to his drama teacher, William Wall. Hello, William.
Hello, Ray. How are you?
Not drama, but English.
English indeed, yeah. Yeah.
And was it a bit of drama as well?
There was a lot of drama, yeah. Goes with the territory, you know.
Yeah, yeah. So this, like, you know, it must be really exciting to see a former pupil receiving a Golden Globe for such a big movie, like Oppenheimer, such a big, important movie.
Yeah, it's amazing, actually. I mean, I've been asked many times if I knew that he was going to reach those heights when he was in school, you know. Mm. And the answer to that is simply no, you couldn't know.
I thought yes, he was brilliant from the start.
No, but I mean, he was a remarkable kid in some ways, you know. I mean, he was a rogue.
Yeah.
My wife taught him mathematics and he and his class drove around the bend.
Okay.
But he was a natural where English was concerned. He just understood it, you know. He got poetry, he got, we were doing Shakespeare, he just got it, you know. Mm. And, you know, I'm not talking about a kid who worked hard and was likely to do well in his exams and all that other stuff. There are a lot of those kids, but not very many kids who actually understand what it's about, the whole thing. And you know, that's so, I mean, I remember advising him that a career in the arts would be good for him. He says I advised him to go into drama. I actually don't remember that. We're talking about 30 or 40 years ago.
I love you, William Wall, because you could just go with it and say he says, and you could just take it, but you're saying you can't remember telling him to pursue the career he's been rewarded for.
Well, I'm talking to RTE, so a measure of honesty is probably required.
So it's the Presentation Brothers College in Mardyke in Cork City.
That's it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. He's soft spoken, Cillian. Was he always that way?
He was. Yeah.
Yeah.
He was. Yeah. In actual fact, you know, a school like that, rugby was a huge thing, and so sport was. If you weren't famous in sport, you weren't famous in the school. You know. And Cillian just rejected all that. He was always into the artistic side. As a musician, for example, they had a fantastic band called the Sons of Mr. Green Jeans.
His brother was in it.
His brother was in it, yeah. And if I remember rightly, a guy called Bob Jackson. There may have been a fourth member, but I can't remember.
Mm.
And they had a sort of a 1960s vibe. They used to wear caftans and elephant flares, and they used to burn incense in the they used to do school concerts, you know.
Yeah.
And they'd burn incense in the theater beforehand, you know. And I remember once doing crowd control duties outside the door, and there was a couple of first years there, and you could smell the joss sticks from outside, you know. And one guy said to the other, I can smell the incest already.
Did he? And were there school productions, plays?
There were, but I don't remember what part he played in them.
Right. yeah.
at this stage. You know, he first got into theatre, again, something organised by my wife, actually. She used to run the fourth-year transition year programme.
Mm.
And she organised for Pat Kiernan, who was the fantastic director of Cork and Dorica Theatre Company. She organised him to come in. He was a former pupil of the school, to come in and teach drama, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where Killian got his first bite of drama. He couldn't have started with a better man, you know. And later he went on to do Disco Pigs for Cork and Dorica. So, you know, that's really the...
And that's where he met his wife, I was reading today. That's where he met his wife when they toured around the country.
Yvonne, yeah. I didn't know that, actually. Yeah.
Well, that's what it says in the papers. If it says in the papers, it must be true.
It must be true.
Any contact between you and him over the years?
Yeah, we write to each other periodically. It's a long time since we've met now. He's not often in Cork, actually, and in fact, he's not often in Ireland.
Mm.
But we write to each other from time to time. I wrote to him this morning now, for example, to congratulate him. And he wrote to me just before Christmas sometime. So, yeah, we're in touch all the time. Yeah, I could safely say we stayed friends, you know.
Great. Oh, that's lovely. That's lovely. Yeah. And what about Oscar hopes now?
Do you know, I don't want to jinx it.
Okay.
I have strong feelings on the matter, but I don't want to jinx it.
Okay,
you know?
Fair enough.
Yeah, it's an amazing film, Oppenheimer.
Listen, if we want an honest opinion on anything, William, we'll get back on to you because...
Thanks very much. I'm my opinion's on everything.
Right. You don't have to have an opinion on everything. Somebody close to me says that to me. William Wall, thanks very much.
Thanks, Ray.
Thank you. Good luck. See you. That's William Wall now, who taught English to Killian Murphy. Jen Gannon, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. I can jinx everything for Killian if he wants.
So you're going to say he's going to win an Oscar?
I think, you know, I mean, from what we saw last night, now we did get our hopes up last year. We were in the same position last year with Colin Farrell, Banshees of Inisherin, winning the Golden Globe for Best Actor. And it had the same feeling last night with Killian. And we can get our hopes raised like that. But I will say there was this audience reaction that was very... different for Killian, as in people were, you know, he's getting kind of a standing ovation, almost like he's this Daniel Day-Lewis-esque character, and people were treating it as something like this is very revered, and that's what we're thinking in line with Oscar.
Will you tell people who just casually follow these things the difference between the Golden Globes and the Oscars?
The Golden Globes are a lot different, as in the category spread is huge. You have something like, you know, best drama, best actor in a drama, but then it's split between that and comedy and musical, so you can have a lot of people that would be nominated in the same category in the Oscars spread out, so they win. There's more awards,
so for example,
chance to win an award.
Barbie and Oppenheimer weren't in the same category last night.
Exactly. But
neither
Barbie
were the
still
actors.
Lost. Barbie still lost. Everybody thought by splitting them up, Barbie would be a shoe-in to win the kind of lighter, you know, quote-unquote awards, as in for comedy or a musical. And it didn't. It didn't do it at all. It was Yorgos Lanthimos's Poor Things that actually swept the board.
Produced
with, like,
by Element.
Stone. Yeah, which is an Irish production. Like, amazing for them.
Okay.
And Emma Stone is one of the ones to watch definitely for the Oscars as well, coming up to it. But I, you know, it's a very tough category because Lily Gladstone for Martin Scorsese's Killers of the Flower Moon, she won in the Golden Globes in the drama side of things. So they will be put together against each other for the Oscars. So it's a lot tougher race for the Oscars.
Who will Killian Murphy be up against in the Oscars that he wasn't up against in the Golden Globes?
Well, the big thing is, look, the media are making a lot of noise about him and Bradley Cooper, because Bradley Cooper
is Maestro,
the Leonard Bernstein biopic. But Bradley Cooper was interviewed doing Actors on Actors, which is where, you know, the actors interview each other before the awards, and he made some kind of inferred this comment about, I've been working on something like, you know, Maestro for about 6 years, inhabiting this character. It's not just like somebody rang me up and said, what are you doing in 6 months' time? And when you read an interview with Killian Murphy, he said that that's what happened. You know, he was rung up at the time by Christopher Nolan and said, you know, do you want to be part of Oppenheimer? So there seemed like there was this underhanded dig at Killian, which people are like, they are the rivals now.
I love that stuff. What else are people
behind
talking
the
about?
Behind the scenes, skullduggery.
Yes.
Everyone is talking about Taylor Swift again. She turned up for this mad award that it's like they made up just for her. It was like, you know, box office achievement, which, you know, isn't the money the box office achievement? Best box office, you think that's what the money is for, like they say in Mad Men. But so her Era tour film was nominated for this, just so they guarantee that she would turn up and get the light bulbs, you know, the flash bulbs on her. And they were on her, but she didn't actually end up winning the award. Barbie, that was one of the only awards that Barbie won, was for the box office achievement. But she was sitting in the audience and she was talking to her friend Selena Gomez. And this year they kept the cameras rolling during the breaks. So, you know, when you'd come back in, there was little inserts of what you may have missed, you know, when we're coming back to you live, and you'd see, you know, the stars mingling with each other. And then somebody caught up on the fact that Selena Gomez seemed to be talking to Taylor Swift about Kylie Jenner and Timothée Chalamet, who made their couple's debut at the awards. It was like their prom
night.
Very
exciting.
It was like their prom night. They were wearing the heads off each other at the table.
Were they?
Yeah, for all the world to see. Like, so it looked as though someone, a lip reader, got involved and said that Selena Gomez was telling Taylor Swift that Kylie Jenner wouldn't let her get a photo of her and Timothée Chalamet together. And that is what the big scandal has been. With Selena Gomez coming out and saying it's
Selena
rubbish.
Gomez is a huge star herself.
She
wanted a selfie with Chalamet.
Yeah, because they were in a film together. They were in a Woody Allen film together years ago. Rainy Day in New York. And they know each other. They're friends. And apparently Kylie said, no, wasn't happening tonight. No selfies with Timmy. And I don't blame her. I'd be keeping him to myself as well.
And the presenter, comedian, referred to Taylor Swift.
Oh, it was a bad one. Joe Coy, I mean, we're not really au fait with him. He used to be on Chelsea Lately. He has his own kind of stand-up, but it went down like a fart in a spacesuit. Like the whole opening monologue, dreadful. And he just kind of made this really bad joke about Taylor Swift, and then the camera zoomed in on her face unimpressed, sipping her champagne, which will be a meme for the ages now, of her looking really unimpressed. And he also made like really derivative jabs at Barbie, at Barry Keoghan, like, I mean, asking him about, you know, his nether regions. Like, it was very, it wasn't like,
which are on show in Saltburn,
yeah,
I believe.
Exactly, yes, they are. Yeah. But at the same time, you know, it just wasn't the same kind of Tina Fey, Amy Poehler, you know, that kind of sarcasm and sharp wit. It was more something you'd be used to back in the day. It just didn't feel very modern. And I've never seen an audience reaction like this before. Meryl Streep had her head in her hands, and not in a half jokey way, in a seriously, this is bad, get off the stage way. So I'm feeling for him. But at the same time, he did throw his writers under the bus. He said, oh, I only got this gig 10 days ago and I didn't write half these jokes. Don't do that, mate. Don't do that. Take responsibility for it or get off the stage.
He didn't look comfortable in the little
really
clips that
didn't.
I saw. He didn't look like he was owning the space.
Exactly. And then you have like people like Will Ferrell, who was on with Kristen Wiig, and they're such a great double act. They were just presenting an award and everyone was like, let them present the whole show.
Naturally
because they were
funny.
So good.
Yes, yeah.
Or last year they had someone like Jared Carmichael presenting and they took a punt on him. He's a young comedian. And he blitzed through it. I didn't understand why they didn't ask him back again and what was why this decision was made. It won't be
There's
made again, put it that way.
So you mentioned Barry Keoghan there. A red suit.
Yes, Louis Vuitton, I think.
Right, yeah. Andrew Scott, a white suit.
Yes, and not his Alf t-shirt. Andrew Scott was talking about, like, he at the pre-awards ceremonies, he was wearing this amazing Alf t-shirt. Remember Alf? Alien
yes,
life
I do.
Form.
Yes,
we loved Alf.
He was on the den.
Yes, of
Jen.
Course.
It was on
of
the den, Jen.
Alf was your friend. You're a friend to all those aliens. But yeah, so he was talking about how he picked that up in a thrift shop and it was one of his best finds ever and he was delighted. But then he decided to get suited and booted for the awards. And Andrew Scott has been a dream, all awards ceremony. He's like a different level of Irish celebrity, whereas Killian is very, you know, mild and kind of shy and quiet and reserved. Andrew Scott is charm personified, and he was up for an award for All of Us Strangers, which is out this month
with Paul Mescal.
With Paul Mescal, who wasn't nominated and didn't turn up. But I think.
And Barry Keoghan had been nominated as well.
Yeah, for Saltburn. But I think that Andrew Scott is, you know, the winner of this award season. I think everyone, people that didn't maybe know his name before this award season, will definitely know his name after it.
So you're saying that Cillian Murphy, this is.
I think
it's going to improve his chances of getting an Oscar.
To be like Cillian Murphy and be quietly confident. Come January 23rd, when the Oscars nominations coming out, we'll all be quietly confident.
Okay.
I'm quietly confident that he'll do it. I think he'll do it.
And
I
that Element feeling. Picture with Emma Stone, which is called
Poor Things.
Yes,
that's out this week. Emma Stone, Yorgos Lanthimos. It's a mad film, crazy film about a woman.
He did Lobster.
He did,
and Deer Hunter. What was it
Killing
called?
Of a Sacred Deer.
Killing
Barry
of a Sacred Deer. Yes,
and Dogtooth.
Yes,
and it's about a woman who gets a toddler's a dead. Woman who has a toddler's brain transplanted into her body and comes alive again, and that's Emma Stone's Bella Baxter, and it's got Mark Ruffalo in it as well, and it is wild.
So like, it's a high end big, is it?
It is. It's a it's a weird sci-fi kind of metaphysical comedy drama.
Right.
That strap yourselves in for this one. If you thought Saltburn was weird, well, go see Poor Things is what I'm going
to
say.
Have you seen it?
Yes, and it is strange as you like, but that's Yorgos Lanthimos, and he pushes those boundaries and pushes those buttons.
Is it like being John Malkovich or one of those? No,
it's more like a weird version of Frankenstein. if anything.
Right, okay.
Yes. A sexy version of Frankenstein.
Jane Gannon, thank you so much for bringing us up to date on the Golden Globes and predictions for the Oscars. Anish Toshi now in the pre-scale to Nanook to Le Marie Nihulawan. Good Marion, thank you very much. 51551RadioRT.ie. Well done to Cillian Murphy, winning the Best Actor. A big positive for getting an Oscar nod, says Jared in Cork. And on the mouse, Rodney's mouse. I'm freaking out. I found a mouse in my kitchen last night and I'm losing my mind at the thoughts of a mouse cleaning up for me. It's giving me the shivers. Would you not embrace it if the mouse did decide to clean up for you? The reason you don't store a head of garlic in the fridge is because it can promote sprouting. Same for onions. They are all part of the same family. Thank you for that. Now, we've two people standing by who want to take part in our Who Done It quiz. Yes. There will be clues and there will be points awarded and there will be a prize, and it's a two-night stay for two people in the Fairways Hotel in Dundalk. It's part of the I Knew It collection of hotels. It's perfectly located between Dublin and Belfast. The Fairway Hotel welcomes guests with warm hospitality, gorgeous rooms and memorable evenings at the Brasserie. That's the hotel's restaurant. And you can enjoy a delectable afternoon tea and enjoy a nightcap before a blissful night's sleep. Fairwayshotel.ie. Fairwayshotel.ie. Gráinne Donaghy is in Raheen Duff. Hello, Gráinne.
Hello, Ray. Ray. How are you?
Good.
Happy New Year to you.
Yeah, how are things in Raheen Duff?
Quiet, Ray. Quiet. I'm actually was on the working night, so I'm just off from my sleep. Ready to get back into a night again.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
So what time did you go get into bed this morning at?
About 11:30.
Right, so you got a bit of daylight. You got a bit of daylight.
Yeah. And then back in again tonight at 10:00.
And then when you get up, it's nearly dark again, isn't it?
It is. Yeah.
So
yeah,
what's your shift? What's your shift?
10 to 10,
right? Right, and you're
10 p.m. to 10 a.m.
And you're a nurse, and you work with intellectual disabilities. And who's at home with you?
I have Fiona, Sean, and Aoife, and Ollie, my husband.
Right.
Three dogs and a rabbit.
All right. Now, are they the names of the dogs and the rabbits, or do you have children as well?
Sometimes they're the names of the dogs, but that's the names of the children. The dogs are Enzo, Ozzy, and Cleo, and the rabbits, Chino.
Right, okay. And what ages are the children, not the pets?
Fiona's 20, Sean is 18, and Aoife's 14.
Right, so they're all still at home?
Fiona's on holidays from college. She's in college in Tipperary doing teaching.
Uh-huh.
And the other two are leaving third and second year.
I see you entertained 17 people on Christmas Day.
Yes, I did, right. Yes, I did. And not a bit of help.
Do you know what I was thinking? Do you know what I was thinking, Gráinne, which would be very helpful if we could do it, is immediately after Christmas, while it's fresh in our memory, you know, that we wrote down a few notes for next year. You know, things that we've learned from this Christmas. Write them in a little notepad.
Yeah.
Do you think that'd be a good idea?
Well, I think I got the message on Stephen's Day, right, to be fair.
Which was what?
I don't want you back. And at the top of it all as well, Ray, I had two vegans as well.
Oh, two vegans.
Yeah.
Vegans are fine, but when you're 17 and you have to... So what did you make for them?
I actually made them a lovely nut roast, and you'd be impressed, Ray.
Right.
A lovely nut roast with a cranberry jus.
Wow.
There you go.
So you had the turkey, the ham...
Yeah.
The things
that, meat, Brussels sprouts, everything.
The things in the blankets and all that. And then you had a nut roast with a cranberry jus, no less.
Yeah. And then I made my own vegan pastry. I made an apple pie for them.
Well, you deserve an award, Gráinne Donaghy.
I do. I hope my family are listening, that they can hear all this, right? And actually present me with an award.
you're up against Mary Collins, who's in Baconstown in Enfield.
Hello, Mary. Hello, how are you?
How are you, Mary? Baconstown.
Yeah.
There you go.
I think it's derived from Beaconstown originally.
So it's nothing to do with pigs or bacon or rashers.
No.
So the way some Irish people pronounce the EA, don't they?
Yeah.
They go,
I think that's it.
So
I think that's it.
Baconstown. Yeah. All right. Yeah. And why would it have been called Beaconstown? Have you any idea?
Because in 1798, I think there was a fire lit on a hill near here. So
to signify, send out a signal of some description.
Yeah, I think so.
Beacon. That makes complete sense. Yes. Now, you're involved in cooking at the moment. What are you doing?
I'm doing shepherd's pie this evening.
Right. Now, does that have beef or lamb?
Oh, beef.
Beef, right. And do you put peas and carrots in it?
Yeah,
Do you top it with mashed potato?
Yeah, and cheese.
And cheese, the cheese crust at the top. Yeah. Yes, that's nice, isn't it? Yeah. And it gives it a bit of colour as well. Yeah.
Yeah.
Who are you cooking that for?
Well, there's myself and himself, Mick, my husband, and our son and his girlfriend live with us as well.
Right. And is your husband Michael Collins?
Yes,
it
is. From a long line of Michael Collins.
Oh, right, right. How many?
I think there's about four back.
Is there four?
Line.
Wow.
And then my son is Michael and his son is Michal.
Right.
Yeah.
I was having this chat recently with somebody about calling your son after yourself, you know, and I was just wondering about it. I didn't come up with any conclusion. Like I'm a Raymond and my dad was Raymond. There was no Raymond before that. And then we called our son Tom as opposed to Raymond. But so you're talking about five or six generations there of Michael.
I think so. And there's kind of a Michael Christopher or a Christopher Michael.
It's in there somewhere. Right. So Mary Collins versus Gráinne Donaghy. Three questions each. You get a clue. If you go for a clue, you get a point for a correct answer. If you go without a clue and get it right, you get 2 points because it's more difficult. Whoever has the most points at the end is the winner. And if the draw and points, we go to a tiebreak question. Good luck to you both.
Thank you. Hello, Mary. Best of luck, Mary. Okay. Thank you. You too.
Gráinne, first category is music. What do you want to do?
Okay. I'll go for 1 point.
You'll go for a pointer?
2 points. Sorry, right. Two points.
So no clue.
Sorry,
you're going for a 2 pointer. Okay. Right?
Yeah, no clue.
Okay, no clue for two. Who is this? Jump in the shower and the blood starts pumping. Out on the streets, the traffic starts jumping. With folks like me on the job from 9 to 5. Working 9 to 5. What a way to make a living. Barely getting by. It's all taking and no giving. They just use your mind and they never give you credit. Who's that?
It's Dolly Parton, Ray.
It is Dolly Parton, yes. Yes, you get 2 points.
And me and Chris say as well, working from 9 to 5 as well.
Yeah,
hard,
yeah, you're working 10 to 10.
Working 10 to 10.
Well, yeah, that's sort of half, it's half work.
Good, right?
Half work, yeah. Right, Mary, music for you too. Do you want a clue?
No clue.
For 2 points, who's this? Yeah. Thunder rolls and the lightning strikes. Another love grows cold. On a sleepless night, as the storm blows on out of control, deep in her heart, the thunder rolls. Who's that?
Is it Garth Brooks?
It is, the thunder rolls, yes. 2 points for you. Good start from both of you. We're on to your second question, Gráinne. Irish voices. What do you want to do?
I'll do two again, Ray.
Two again, okay. For 2 points, who is this?
It's not an audience who are particularly worried about how they're perceived because they work in games, so it's cool. So it's not like the Golden Globes crowd with Gervais where they're all terribly afraid of, can we laugh at this? So you can actually take the mickey out of their games. They're also really delighted because for the most largest entertainment industry in the world, they don't get the kind of common, kind of, you know, people don't discuss their stuff the way they discuss famous scenes in movies.
Who's that?
Is it Dara O'Brien?
It is Dara O'Brien, yes. Yeah, yeah, well done. That was obviously a guess. I'm judging from your excitement there. Yes, yeah, well, 2 points, well done. No, yeah, that's fine by me, absolutely fine by me. Irish voices for you, Mary Collins. What do you want to do?
I'll have to go with no clue, I suppose.
You probably do, yes. For 2 points, who is this?
I absolutely lost my mind turning 40. I really did because it was April. We were at the start of a pandemic. I turned 40. I started asking myself really big questions like, where am I going? What am I doing? Am I happy in my life? Should I not be on a farm living the eco life?
Who's that?
I haven't a clue.
No.
I haven't a clue who that is, no.
No. The clue, if you'd asked it, was a dancing host, which would have led you to Dancing with the Stars, which may have led you to Jennifer Zamparelli. Now you're not out of it yet, Mary. You're not out of it yet. The final category, films from 2022. Now, Gráinne, I'm doing the maths here and the permutations. Yeah. If you get anything from this, Mary can't catch you. So with that in mind, do you want a clue or not?
No, can I have the one raised? That's okay.
Yeah, you'll have a clue. Okay. Big Irish film set off the mainland. Okay, so for 1 point, name this movie.
If I've done something to you, just tell me what I've done to you. And if I said something to you, maybe I said something when I was drunk and I've forgotten it, but I don't think I said something when I was drunk and I've forgotten it. But if I did, then tell me what it was. And I'll say sorry for that too, Colin. With all my heart, I'll say sorry. Just stop running away from me like some fool of a moody schoolchild.
But you didn't say anything to me. And you didn't do anything to me.
What's the movie?
Is it The Banshees of Inisherin?
Oh. Colin Farrell and Brendan Gleeson. You get a point, you're on five. Mary, you can't catch Grainne now.
I know. Yeah. Congratulations, Grainne.
Oh, yeah. Thank you so much, Mary. I'm sorry now, Mary. Thank you, though. Thank you.
And Jennifer was back on the telly last night with Dancing with the Stars, and you were on for 2024. Listen, Mary, we're going to send you out a Ray Darcy show. Keep up. Good luck with the Shepherd's Pie, and lovely talking to you. Okay, bye
thank
now.
You.
Bye,
thank
Mary.
You.
Bye.
Bye.
Grainne, well done. Yay.
Oh, thank you.
I was seeing you wanted some R&R because you had such a tough Christmas with the 17 people. So,
yes, I did.
Yeah, so there you have a two-night stay for yourself.
Thank you so much, Ray.
Ollie, isn't it? Ollie, the Fairways Hotel.
Ollie,
yeah,
Ollie.
Yeah, fairwayshotel.ie to see what's in store for you. Lovely talking to you, Grainne.
Brilliant.
Mind yourself.
Thank you so
see
much,
you.
Ray.
Bye.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. Bye.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1. Email ray@rte.ie. The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Connor Pope joins us in studio. Connor, cottage pie, beef, shepherd's pie, lamb.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah, look.
Mind you, I always make shepherd's pie with beef, and I in my own home, I would call it shepherd's pie because I don't like lamb.
Yeah.
And I would never cook with lamb, or I try not to cook with lamb. So I call a beef pie shepherd's pie, even though I know in my heart and soul it's cottage pie.
It's the reference, isn't it? The shepherd and the sheep. And
exactly. Mind you, I don't know what the beef have to do with a cottage. Do the cows live in the cottage?
Or I have no idea.
Does the farmer live in the cottage? Who knows? But anyway.
Anyway, good to see you. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. How many more days do we have of that?
Oh, look, well, you see, there's people who were, you know, had holidays and they're only arrived back.
I actually kind of was resentful of all those people because I heard the opening of the show and you were like, oh, it's great, everyone's back to normal, back to life, back to reality. And I was like, I was working on the 26th, the 27th, the 28th and the 29th of December.
Right, okay. Well, I was in the middle there somewhere, so we won't upset anybody, and we'll just move on.
I'm already upset.
Yes, yeah. This will upset people because the property tax is due when?
Well, it's actually due. It depends on how you pay it, because if you pay it in a lump sum, it's due later this week. So I think the 10th of January is the time you have to pay it. But a lot of people can pay through alternate means, because to be fair to revenue, when they set up the local property tax, which, by the way, is really important. And it was one of those hangovers from the property crash, because we were so utterly reliant on property, on the money that was coming in from sales of properties, that it really hampered the economy to a great degree. So they introduced the property tax. Stamp duty was the word, yeah. So they introduced the local property tax. Anybody who owns a property is liable to pay it. You can pay it in a multiple of different ways. You can pay it once a month by a direct debit, which is how I choose to pay it, which means it's relatively painless. You can pay it quarterly, or you can pay it either by direct debit or cash in a lump sum. Right. And like, it depends on how you do it. There's different cut-off points.
Can you save money by doing it any which way?
No. That's one of the good things about it, because a lot of businesses, a lot of companies charge you more if you opt to pay by direct debit, or famously, and I think one of the things that we've talked about on the show before, is motor tax. So that if you pay your motor tax once a year, it might cost you, let's say, €400. And then if you pay your motor tax in four quarters, so pay it every 3 months, it might cost you €450 or whatever. So you're penalised.
Not
the case with property tax. Right. And that's to the revenue's credit. So, you know, a lot of people, it's probably worth bearing in mind that if people had set up a payment method in 2023 or 2022 and they were with Ulster Bank or with KBC, those banks are now gone.
That's important.
So you want to make sure that your payment methods are up to date, and you can do that through the revenue website. Okay. So there is a portal for it.
And does it keep going until you say stop?
Yeah, and like the valuations of the properties are based on the valuations that were made, I think, in 2021, and that will be the valuation of the properties until, I think, 2025. So it's not like it's this constantly changing thing that has to be updated regularly. It does have to be paid, and it is an important element of
the
account.
So if you are monthly or quarterly, you don't have to do anything.
If you're paying direct debit every month, it's just it keeps rolling over.
Yeah. But if you decide to pay by a lump sum, your time is nigh.
Yeah, and it's a tricky time to pay. Because a lot of people, you know, they don't have that much cash in January. But, you know, I think there's a degree of flexibility that's shown there by revenue.
The other thing is a big story by you in the paper today. But it begs the question about scams and traditional banks versus fintech banks.
Yeah, no, I mean, like, the scams are pernicious and they impact everybody. So they impact people with credit union accounts, they impact people with accounts in pillar banks, and they impact people with the fintechs. I think one of the things that makes a fintech like Revolut different from the other from others is that there's two things that I think make it different. One is it can be very difficult to speak to a human being if you have a problem with a Revolut account. And I've spoken to many people, I think we've probably talked about them on the show in the past, people who have had their money, who have lost money in a scam with Revolut accounts, and they just find it absolutely impossible to talk to a human being.
Do they have an office in Ireland?
They don't have it. They were going to be headquartered here after Brexit, but I think they opted not to. So they have a presence here and they have people employed here. But the difficulty is that they rely very heavily on chatbots. And they rely very heavily on email. And I've spoken to them about that and I've challenged them about it, because I think sometimes if you're in the middle of a scam, and if you, and this is, the scam isn't being perpetrated by the fintech, and it's very important to say that. Yeah. But if you know that the money is leaving your account, and if you have become aware of that, what you need is you need to speak to a human being who can tell you what steps you need to take, if any, to try and retrieve your money. And I think a lot of the fintech companies have poured all of their money into the technology and the algorithms, and they say, okay, well, that's enough. We do not have to have people at the end of the phone who can talk you through a crisis. And I think pillar banks still have those people at the ends of the phone to talk you through a crisis. That's not to say that they're immune to the scams, and they're not. And also, I think sometimes one of the real unique selling points of a company like Revolut is the instantaneous nature of the financial transactions. So if I want to send you money, I pick up my phone, I key in your number, I select a sum of money and I send it to your Revolut account. And that really appeals to me, because I'm forever giving out about how slow pillar banks are moving money from A to B, because it's all computerized. But that the fact that Revolut is instant can be a real disadvantage when there's a scam happening, because once the money is gone from your account in Revolut, it's gone. Whereas sometimes with a bank like AIB or Bank of Ireland or PTSB, there's a greater possibility that if you detect the scam very quickly, that the bank can stop the transaction happening, because their processes aren't quite as instantaneous.
And people who scam, they do it sort of in increasing amounts of money, don't they? So it's like they're testing the waters.
Exactly.
So they'll take enough, and nobody said stop, I'll take a little bit more the next time. Nobody said stop, I'll take a little bit more.
And you can see like hundreds of, and in fact thousands of euros can be drained from somebody's account, because they might start with, oh, I'll take 50 euros, then I'll go up to 500, and then I'll go to 1,000 and 2,500 and whatever it might be. And you kind of wish that all, because I think Revolut will make the point that this isn't their problem. And it's not fair to a company like Revolut or to any bank to expect them to solve the problem on their own. And they're 100% right in that respect.
Who needs to solve it? Then?
Everybody. Because, because it's the telecoms companies that allow these text messages to come through on their platforms. It's the banks that allow the money to go from A to B without any kind of person or computer going, hang on a second, does Ray Darcy really want to send 5,000 euros to a travel agent in Cambodia or whatever it might be? And it's dependent, the government has to play a role. And I think...
When you see what algorithms are capable of doing to sell us stuff.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So for example, I get, you know, boots, whatever, walking boots or whatever.
Of course they're walking boots, right?
I don't actually. I'm just giving that as an example.
Of course, yeah.
So what I'm saying is that they can plot your behaviour if they want to sell you something.
Yeah.
Similarly, they should be able to plot your behaviour when it comes to withdrawing from your account and spot something that's out of the ordinary.
And I suspect they can do that to a degree. And I suspect an awful lot of the technology that companies have put in place protects their customers. But I think more needs to be done. And I think we need to be in a position where we move beyond simply blaming the consumer or blaming the victim for the scam, because all the time when I highlight these stories here and elsewhere, what I'm told by the banks is, oh well, the transaction was authorized by the user, by the victim, but that person has been the victim of a very elaborate scam, and it's not good enough to say, well, you gave away your money, so it's nothing we can do.
No,
think you there needs to be like a multi-pronged approach, in the same way that years ago, you'll remember this, and a lot of your older listeners might remember this, that when email was absolutely cursed with spam messages, and you were forever getting spam messages into your main email box. I can't remember
how
last
did
time.
They solve that.
They put in filters, and they just put in better measures of security. So it should be possible that the telecoms companies work in conjunction with the state, and work in conjunction with the regulator, and work in conjunction with the banks and the fintechs to protect consumers and to do more. And if they don't, I think they should be made to pay a price, because it's only when things cost businesses money that they act proactively to stop them happening.
Great. Now, we have enough time for this. We do. This came in to pricewatch@rte.ie. I purchased 7 tickets as a Christmas gift for a family outing to take place in April of this year, 2024. Unfortunately, 4 of those people can't make it due to a wedding abroad on that date, which I was unaware of when I bought the tickets. I requested a refund or a credit note, but they flatly refused, quoting terms and conditions. Is this unreasonable due to giving 4 months' notice? Thank you.
Well, the reason why I thought it would be useful to talk about this problem is because yes, is the short answer. It is kind of unreasonable, but it's not unreasonable on behalf of the theatre company. It's unreasonable on behalf of our listener, because them's the rules.
So they bought tickets for a theatre.
They bought 7 tickets for an event that's happening in April, and 4 of the people can't go to the event because they're going to be away. Now, the person who contacted us believes that the theatre company should take responsibility for that and should give them the money back. Mm. And the argument goes, well, listen, you've got 4 months more to sell the tickets, so you'll be able to sell the tickets. So why don't you just give me my money back? But the theatre company could make the point that, well, we sold you these tickets in good faith. It's not our fault that 4 members of the party can't go because they've got a wedding overseas. So why should we be left with the responsibility of reselling these tickets? So that's the first thing I'd say. And I think a lot of the time people misunderstand the rights that they have as consumers. So, for instance, if you buy something online and you don't like it, you can exchange it within up to 14 days after receiving the product, except in the case of tickets for events like theatre shows or airline tickets.
Okay.
And the reason for that is, let's say this company, they're having a big theatrical performance, I don't know what it is, and they announce it in the first 2 or 3 or 4 weeks, they might sell the largest number of tickets, because that's when there's the highest level of interest in this new thing that's just been announced.
There's also been radio ads, interviews, paper ads, all that sort of
thing. And if they had to work then under the assumption that a lot of people would kind of change their mind and say, well, listen, you've got loads of time to resell those tickets. So that's the first thing, that you don't have the right to the refund, nor I think should you be expecting or assuming that you'll get a refund, in exactly the same way that if you buy tickets for a flight and you decide you can't go for some reason, you can't expect the airline to give you your money back, even though they would definitely be able to sell those tickets, those seats on into the future. So what I would suggest to this person is, they have 4 spare tickets for this event. The 4 people that they were intending to gift them to can't go. So they could either find 4 other people and turn it into a positive by giving those 4 other people the tickets to the event so they don't go to waste. Or they could use one of the many different platforms that are out there, such as Dundeal and Adverts and eBay, to sell the tickets on, to minimise the financial impact on themselves. But it is very important that they take the responsibility for this upon themselves, because it's not the fault of a small theatrical company.
There is no way, just because this is important information for people, that if you buy tickets for a theatre event, that they will refund you if something changes.
No. There's none. Unless they're really, really, they're feeling really good about the world. But there's no legal obligation, and there's no, I don't think there should be an expectation that that'll happen, because that's just the way the world works. You bought the tickets in good faith. They sold them to you in good faith. Turns out that the people you bought them for can't go. What are you going to do? You know, the person who is going to take the financial hit shouldn't necessarily be the theatrical company selling the tickets. It should be, unfortunately, our listener. And it's not often that we say that, but it is. And I think sometimes it's important to highlight the rights you don't have as much as it is to highlight the rights that you do have, just to save themselves the heartache of getting onto the company and shouting the place down, saying, I want my money back.
And so many more of our listeners are learning by this person's mistake.
Well, that's exactly it. So just be careful, like, check the dates. And yes, it's unfortunate, and don't get me wrong, okay, but if I was there...
But if you're gifting somebody, you're not going to go, are you available this, you know, just checking.
No, 100%. Unfortunate, but if I was them, I would gift them to somebody else and to turn a negative into a positive.
Conor Pope, thank you very much. Pricewatch at rte.ie if you want Conor to grapple with any of your consumer issues. That's it from us for today. Cormac is on Drive Time on his own. We're back tomorrow at 3 o'clock. Enjoy the rest of your Monday evening.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.